Wow, listeners. Wow. I am here with
Wow.
the author of the upcoming, recently cover released masterpiece, YA fantasy sensation that's going to storm the internet. A Cruel Thirst author, Angela
Yes.
Montoya. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, bitch. Thank you so much. Yay. Thank you. And I am here, Melanie Schubert, Schubert, Melanie Schubert, author of Severed Cape from the Castle of Horror anthology, coming very soon. The
There's
world is not ready. The world shall quake when this anthology goes live, ladies
yes,
and
when they finally send a pre-order
gentlemen.
link.
Yeah. Hey, I kid you not. I have been checking their website.
Although one of our listeners sent me a screenshot, and she was like, "Your Kindle is up for pre-order already." So they must be in the process of putting it all up online, because there's no picture or nothing, but you could click on the link she had. You could click to pre-order the Kindle copy.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, dear listener.
Yeah, I can't
Oh,
remember who it
cool.
was, damn it.
Yeah. Obviously, Melanie's not that grateful. Just
I think it
kidding.
was Sarah. Was it Sarah?
Wow. So it was on Amazon, obviously, because Kindle is through
Yeah.
Amazon, I believe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Sarah Marie. Sarah Marie sent me
Wow.
a photo. So I felt all shy,
Wow.
but
Oh, look at
hopefully
Goose.
soon. Hopefully soon
Look.
you can see it.
Yes, she was looking at her mama. Well, okay, now we can pre-order through Kindle.
Yeah, but I'm like kind of waiting until they actually have like the cover art and
Yeah,
hopefully physical
yes.
copies. All the others
Oh,
have physical copies, so like I assume it would be paranoid
yeah.
of me to think it wouldn't. I think they're probably just slowly loading it all up everywhere, but I mean,
Oh, yeah.
how long can it be at this point, Angela? How long can it be? Like, it because it's so close now, I've also started checking. And
Yes.
I have this feeling of like, because just any second it can turn over at this point, and I'm gonna have a cover and pre-order links and all these things.
The whole shebang, it's coming. I'm excited.
Me too.
Yes, I can't not freaking wait. I have been stalking their page. I didn't even think to go to Amazon and just try it
Yeah.
there. So good job,
Yeah.
Sarah. Sarah is
Good job,
very astute.
Sarah. Thanks for
Very
making
good.
my day and being like, yes,
Yeah.
something is happening. Because I think until you have like a cover, a link, whatever, it still feels like this. You know how it is? It's just like this dream on an internet pipeline that's like floating around until it's
Yes.
actually done.
I think especially like the cover and links to buy when you
Yeah.
see the cover. Which was part of the game plan for when we revealed the cover for A Cruel Thirst, was to
Yeah.
have something for people to either buy or add to Goodreads or whatever it is. So we are anxiously awaiting Melanie's cover and pre-order links and the whole
We are.
shebang.
But while we
Getting
wait,
ready.
back to the cover reveal of A Cruel Thirst, because
Yes.
we have revealed that. And listeners, you can pre-order it now. You can add it to Goodreads. And if you haven't seen that cover yet,
Yeah.
you're in for
Yeah.
a treat.
You
And
are.
if you have, you've been blessed.
Your eyes have been blessed. Honestly, like I freaking love the cover, obviously. It's so
Yeah.
cool. It's so beautiful. The details, all of it is really
Detail.
fun. And the cover reveal day was a blast. I
Yeah.
thank you for the reminder early on. Don't break your Instagram. So I paced myself throughout the day.
You were good.
I stayed out of jail.
Was it hard?
Yeah, because I was like, and then I was like, no,
No.
stop. Like,
Yeah.
don't do it. Don't do it. You'll get back to it when you can.
Yes.
So yeah. But I could feel like, I kid you not. And well, maybe it was just in my head, but my Instagram was getting glitchy towards the end of the
Yeah.
day. And I was thinking, they're trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
Interesting.
that's it's scary when it does that, like, because you just don't know. That's one of the things about social media, right? And just the internet in general. There's like one little part of my brain that's always reserved, like, for the devastating potential that it can get hacked and like it can like fail or whatever. Like,
Yeah.
because that's real too, but
That's
I'd like
real.
to.
But yeah. Well, it's when we have Brianne Randall on, and she is
Yeah.
the as I call her, the mistress of social media. She's so great. And she mentioned, building an email list.
Yeah.
And I hear so many authors, that's they talk about as like the newsletter. Because
Yeah.
truly with social media, you don't control that. It can just be taken from you or hacked or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just hard. For me personally, like I know I should, but having one more thing to do
Nah, you
on
do
top of
enough,
so many
my
things
friend.
is tough. Yeah.
I think that's the
Someday.
thing. I wish we got to the question to ask her, does she think that every author needs that to like
Yeah.
be successful? Because obviously she's experienced like a huge success and she attributes a lot of that to like her online presence. But I would be curious what, because she also mentioned she had a friend who's not online at all.
Right.
And it does, and even like when we were talking
Interesting.
to Ambika last week, and I found myself thinking, it's okay. I think you've got this. You don't need to be online all the time. You know, just keep writing books. And
That's
I think
it.
that's the thing. Ultimately, Brienne, that's how I found myself thinking afterwards. I was like, Brienne loves it. She literally got onto that side of things first, you know, because she was so
Yeah.
excited about marketing. She's a marketing pro. But I do think that if it, like, to a point, if it doesn't feel good or natural and it's taking away from your writing, like there has to be like that self-awareness to be like, well, now I hate writing because I'm doing so much of this. And I think there are ways you can make it fun, and there's definitely like, but yeah, I think case by case, it's probably going to be quite different. Everybody's journey, like how people have experienced that. And I think unless you're having fun, like she has fun and it shows. Like I think I only found her through, she kept putting up cool inspirational quotes. And then I was like, I clicked on her thing and I was like, oh, people that I care about follow her too. I was like, oh yeah, I'll follow her. And,
Yeah.
but that's because she's putting that joy out in that way. Don't you reckon?
Yes, I do reckon. I do because I don't know if I've used that word very often in my life, but I do reckon. I reckon.
What's funny is
Yes.
it sounds so bogan, but it also is like quite old English. It's like from
Yeah.
I should reckon, like would you reckon with such a thought or whatever.
Oh.
Is it quite an
Yeah.
old English word? I mean, they're all old, aren't they? But just ignore me.
It's interesting, right? Historically,
Yeah.
unless I'm way off, but we all, Australians and Americans, we're branched off of the same thing, right? Like we're like come from British people, right?
Yeah,
Like
I think
British English,
so.
right?
Yeah.
Like, they came over here and colonized, and then they go to Australia. Or
Yeah,
maybe we should
yeah.
just cut this,
No,
okay?
they definitely went to Australia. They
Yeah.
definitely went to
So we all
Australia.
have forms of like
Yeah,
the old British, and they say like people from the South,
Yeah.
their accents are still very closely linked to
Really?
British accents.
You mean like the really southern drawl?
Yeah, I guess is like closely linked to the UK still. You don't look like you're believing
It did.
me.
Listen, it's not that I don't believe you. It's that I think that the southern drawl people would like to be thinking that the accent sounds like that. But it's giving very different accent. Not that I quite love a good southern drawl, but I'm thinking it's not similar at all. Also,
Look this
I could
up. I'm gonna
not
look this
think of
up.
two people less equipped to discuss
Yeah.
the history of our fair countries. Because you're asking me like I know, and I was trying to rack my brain, and then I'm like, no, don't do that. This just tumbleweeds when I try to like actually think about
Yeah.
all of that.
Yeah.
So,
That's hilarious. I saw your eyes just roll back and you're just think like just the cogs were going, but no one was there.
I tried.
But what were we talking about before we got
Social
spun off on
media?
Reckon?
Social
Okay.
media?
Yeah, social media. You said you reckon, and I said yes, I reckon. I reckon about social media that you yes, I think here I'm coming back. I'm
Oh,
coming
you
back. My
got
brain's
it.
getting there. I
Well
got it. I got it.
done.
I think I pulled it back. I think social media is a tough one because like with Ambika, like it really opened my eyes that culturally we're so vastly different in this world. And here, like in the States and in Australia, like we're like I speak for Australia, like I
No,
know,
please
but
do.
like we're okay to be loud and you know very expressive and however we want to be, and like for many, but not for all, obviously. But to be on social media is not a stretch so much or like so difficult.
I
But then
actually
also
think
personality-wise too, you know.
100%. No, I actually think now that you say it out loud, I actually think Australia probably at its heart leans more towards like Japan in the sense that it felt super unnatural for me initially putting myself online, and like I think there would still be a lot of like riding circles who would just be, they would just make this face like, oh, like, well, like, what are they talking about? Like, you know, like, they would, yeah, there's definitely this very literary side
Yes, of
of
the publishing
Australians.
persuasion,
Correct.
that side, the of the publishing persuasion, literary hardness, yes.
I think YA
Yeah.
is maybe breaking through that a bit. Like, I definitely see more lighthearted YA reels, and like, and I'm finding bit by bit like a community that like where we just like really cheer for each other and have fun. But yeah, I can definitely see something in between, maybe.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you say that because now that I'm also thinking, because yeah, I was just spitballing a second ago, but it does feel young adult in particular, romance, like all those sort of like areas, you do see more of a presence from the authors where maybe a literary author
Oh, they
might
wouldn't
not feel
show them.
inclined.
No, they might not feel inclined. Very well said. I'm rewatching Bridgerton, so you're just going to hear this accent from me all the time.
So very British of you.
Yes,
We'll just
definitely.
have to cut this entire intro.
No, I wouldn't dare. It is glorious.
Yeah, but no, I think with social media, like, I think it's one of those things that authors don't have to be on, you know, because. And I know like people want to see authors sometimes, but I don't think they have to because there are some books that I see that just blow up and you're thinking, oh wow, this author must have a ton of followers, and you go to their Instagram and there's like, you know, like I don't know, like you know, 200 followers or something. And they just post every sporadically and it's not their entire personality, and they just write. And so I don't think writers have to be on social media. Do I think it may help writers? Sure. For a few reasons. I think for me personally, like just networking and meeting other writers, has been everything. It's been like why I continue to do it. You know, it's like the community, it's the show that we do. Like those are the things that bring me joy. And so I don't think authors have to be on there, but I think if you know your reason for being on social media, then maybe you find more peace. And for some people, it's like I want to get big and blow up and have all these followers. And for some people, it's like, no, I just want to make friends.
That's it. I really wanted to ask her as well, like, does she find it like which one is for her, since both are that she's doing both already? I was curious, like, what it looks like her week, what time goes into more,
Oh,
because
that would have been
I
a good
do
one.
feel, yeah, I do feel like with an account like hers, that's like a day job when you're really putting like that much work into it, that it's like, yeah. And of course she deserves all her hard-earned success that's come with that, but I think maybe that's it, like kind of reframing like what you want out of it. Because
Yeah.
yeah, like again, it was the same for me. Chatting to Ambika kind of like opened my eyes like more that way, and just being like, oh yeah, like there's literally just people on the other side of the planet just writing books and like posting like the bare minimum, and it's still happening for them, you know. But I
Yeah.
do think like she's also was kind of craving that community as well. So 100%, like that's what it, I think for both of us, we came back to that in the end, because it's really hard not to get trapped in that growth mindset, because it's almost pitched these days that it's going to be the difference between selling books and not.
Right.
And you know what? I bet it is for some people. That's also probably facts. For some people, they might not have sold a book without their hundreds of thousands of following. But yeah, I think you've got to work out case by case what it is you want out of it. Because if you really hate that part of it and you're just completely forcing it, I think it will show in your content, and it's never going to really reach that. You're not going to go viral if you're doing it like out of spite. You know?
Or that might be perfect, actually. Like, I hate being on here. Let me
That's
just
true. If you
tell
make
you this.
it your whole identity. I
Oh
think how you're doing it at the moment is perfectly. You're still making like funny reels and stuff, but I think I've noticed you not seem to be like grinding to do it like as much. Is that kind of how you feel at
yes.
the moment?
Yeah, and it's
Yeah.
very freeing, to be honest. I burnt myself
Mm.
out. I burnt
Mm.
myself out about 3 months before Sinner's Isle even launched. I was dead in the water. Like I just felt like I had to post, like on
Oh.
TikTok in particular, I was like trying to post multiple times a day, trying to like do all the things. Now I'm mostly just like repost old things that I've already posted on
That's
there.
smart.
Like and sometimes some days I just don't, and some days I just don't care. I don't want to be on there because sometimes it feels like just the app in general, like just being on social media in general is very like toxic in some ways. Like it was feeling weird on TikTok because I just kept seeing like these AI generated
There's so
things.
much AI shit. It's driving me
Yeah.
nuts in reels. And
Yeah.
I just like my husband showed me something the other day. He's like, look at this zebra. It's the rarest zebra in the world. And I was like, is it though? I was
Right. I
like,
don't
is it?
believe
I don't
anything.
trust anything anymore. Or is it just an AI zebra that somebody's created mixed with like a leopard or something? I don't know. It had
No, but
spots.
it's
I don't know. It was weird.
no, it's true. I like even like news, I'll be on there and I'm like, and something will come on and I'm like, but is this real? Is this,
100%.
you know?
Yeah. And I'm
So I'm
seeing
not
the
paying.
pattern of trolls now as well. I'm so unaffected by people's remarks as well, because you can literally just see the Karen in their basement just looking for the Karen or the Paul, because it's like often men sitting in their
Yeah.
basement, like thinking of the most wretched comment to just incite rage. And even I've
Yes.
seen these accounts that's trickled through to Instagram from TikTok that's like a baking account, but they purposely make stuff with like, oh, they'll make like a flan, a strawberry flan with sardines, and like they won't descale the fish or whatever. I don't know, they'll do something really
Yeah.
shocking, not wash their potatoes, so that people will be like, ooh, like salmonella, what are you doing? And it's just rage bait. And I'm like, you also just wasted like a trough of food just to make this like shitty
Yes.
reel. Like, how is this the whole identity? And like, what do they achieve once, like, what is the satisfaction once you have whatever 100, whatever 500,000 followers or whatever? What do they do then? No? Just keep
Yeah.
making shitty food with unscaled sardines?
Unscaled sardines. Oh
No,
my
dang it. How
God.
bloody well dare they?
How dare they? No, but it's true. It feels very fake. And just
Very.
like a little yucky. And I've even seen that in the author community where
Really?
certain people who are claiming to be authors or trying to build a community, build a following,
Yeah.
and a lot of their statements are just like to get that rage from people, and then to
Yeah.
build comments, and so it's going back and forth, so people are following them just
Yeah.
basically for this like rage baiting account, if that makes sense. And so I've been
Yeah.
seeing a lot of those. So just a lot of stuff just feels very disingenuous lately. Is that a word? Disingenuous? Yeah.
Disingenuous. It's giving a real word.
It's give if it as long as it's giving, let's just pretend it is. And so I haven't really been on TikTok as
Fair
much,
enough.
and
Yeah.
it's been rather nice because I've been able to actually read
Yeah.
and like live,
You're killing
and
it with your read with your to be read this year.
I've been reading, girl. I have been reading.
What are you reading
So,
now?
right. Oh, I am reading. I'm reading bits and pieces of Jill 2's newest
Ooh.
beta reading. I'm beta reading for something for Jill 2. And I know you're reading something of
I
Jill
am
2.
reading The Dividing Sky and holy
Yes.
shit. Like, you know, it sounded great as a pitch. And I was
Yeah.
like, that sounds like the next Netflix movie series that I need immediately. And reading it has not disappointed. Like, it's such a cool world she's setting up. And I can just see it unfold. You know, for me, when I know I'm reading a good book, I just can see it unfolding in my brain as a movie, you know? So,
Yeah, that's the
yes,
best.
I can't
No,
recommend that book enough. And I'm also reading The Kinsey Project by our beloved founding father. So reading both at the same time was very naughty because my brain tends to like struggle to read two, but like I'm doing it. I'm doing the thing. And
yes.
like, what better
Good.
two books to read? Like, I just
Yeah.
can't. I'm reading them both because they're so bloody good, and I couldn't put either of them down. And I had to have a sneaky peek of Jill's when she sent me the
Yeah.
link. And I was just like, well, now I'm screwed because I'm reading both. So, but what a joyful
It
situation to be in.
is. It's amazing that yeah, you can't go wrong with either one. I'm also
No.
reading The Revenant Games by Margie Fustin.
Oh, yes.
Oh man, it's good. So gosh, I
We have
love
to
it.
get Margie back on. You also did an
Yeah.
event with her recently, didn't
I
you?
did. Yeah, just this weekend we were part of a panel. Well, it
Yeah.
was just Margie and I. But we at a local library. And the librarian asked the best question. She had read all of the books, and there was people of all ages there, and they were asking questions.
Yeah.
One of our listeners of the show, shout out to Amanda, was there. So like it was a really great event, and it was really fun. It's always fun seeing Margie because she's just the best. She's so smart, and just chatting afterwards, we went and had coffee, and she treated me to lunch after. So thank you, Margie.
Oh,
If you
bless. That's the
Yeah,
sweetest thing ever. I was going to
it was
ask you,
neat.
like, was there any Sinner's Isle corner? We haven't touched on Sinner's Isle corner lately, but
You
that's a
know
pretty cool
what?
one. Do you have
Yeah,
something
I think
else?
that's great. No, nothing really for Sinner's Isle. I mean, she's out there just doing her
Yeah.
thing. She's
The
working.
event wasn't for Sinner's Isle,
No,
was it?
that was, yes,
Yeah,
it
yeah,
was.
yeah.
It was. It was.
No, that was
So
cool.
it was really cool. So we got to sign some books after, and but it's funny because on the way home, I was just thinking like, and there's other things coming up that are really exciting, and I can't
Yeah.
necessarily share about it, but also doing like SmackDown with Ryan LaSala. Like
Yeah.
these events are happening, and things are happening, and it's like all the stuff that when I first like started writing and like digging into to what it is, there were all the things that like I really dreamed of
Yeah.
and hoped for, and it's all coming. But like I
Yeah.
just kept thinking like all of these things are so scary. Everything I'm doing like makes me sweat
Yeah.
and makes me so nervous. Even though I had Margie there and I knew she had my back and like I have
Yeah.
you on the show and I know like no matter what, but it scares me so much. But I just remember thinking like back then, when I first started writing, I was like, oh, someday I'm gonna be an author and I'm gonna do these things. And had I not had that thought process in my head and started building my life around what I really and truly believed was coming, had I not like said yes to the podcast and
Yeah.
like all these like little steps, like training me to do the big things, those big things would have felt 20 billion times scarier than they do right now. And they still feel scary, but they don't feel like where I'm gonna just shit my pants, you know? Maybe just a little toot, but not like the
I
full.
still feel like I'm gonna shit my pants when I do social things.
They're like some of these things, right? Like I can handle, I'm not gonna be running out with the cacas in the pants, right? But I feel like, you know how you read books on like manifesting and a lot of the things they say is like you're not reaching those goals, those dreams because you're not living that, you're not living like you have it already. You know what I'm saying?
I,
And but it,
yes, preach,
yeah.
child, preach.
But it just like really clicked because when I first started writing and you know, we got into Pitch Wars and I had started building that life that I thought I was gonna have and I really wanted. And so I would start doing these steps, which the podcast was not a little thing, but you know, like doing these steps so that living that where it when it does come, I'm ready.
Yeah,
And
but like to undo everything I just said about not having social media, that's exactly
right.
right. Like, I wouldn't have even thought to ask you if you weren't making that joyful content and like putting yourself out there because, yeah, literally that, what you've just said, you were taking those little steps already. And then when these bigger opportunities come around, I'm saying that like the podcast was
I know,
not.
I know. But it wasn't as scary because it was us and it was
That's
like our
so true.
friends at, you know, at
Yeah,
first. And then,
you're
you know,
right.
eventually it gets scarier. But it wasn't as like because it was we had this. But yeah, with social media, even like when I first started, even though, you know, everybody has social media, not everybody, but social media is a thing. But I do remember like when I first started the like my author page. That first post was really, really scary. And two people probably liked it. And I but I, you know, I worked so hard to like take a picture of a book.
Was that your
You
first
know?
post, a picture of a book?
Yeah. And just like a book. Whatever. And God, it was 2017 or something.
Was
But
it Twilight?
was it what?
Was it Twilight, the first book you posted?
No, it was like the Sea Witch or something. It was
Oh,
a, yeah, really pretty cover.
so pretty.
But anyway, but yeah, I think slowly I had been building social media with the idea of like gaining a following, meeting people, but it has shifted from I don't necessarily like care so much about the numbers, but it's the people for me. And so anyway, what I'm trying to say
No,
is,
I love it.
yeah,
Don't
thank you. I
do
appreciate
that. I love everything
it.
you're saying. All of
Okay.
it is
Thank you.
perfect.
Thank you. But yeah, like what I like the real heart of it is just like if you really feel like being a writer, being an author is the thing, is the goal, start building yourself to that now. Like live that now. And whatever that means, eventually, if you just really keep working and grinding, you're going to do it. You're going to get it. It might look differently than how you planned at the very beginning, but you're still gonna, if you just keep working your ass off and it's what you want, it'll get there. Live it.
100%, 100%. And like something else I've been meditating on lately is work as well. If you want to do this as a career, as work, like I saw this post the other day, this lady was like, she quit her corporate job to go be in a florist. And she had sang over that song, "I Think I Hate This Little Life." She hated
Oh.
it. She hated work. And then I was reading the comments because it was kind of the opposite of the usual reels I get. Usually they would have quit their corporate job and now they're so happy in their little whatever.
Yeah.
But like somebody in the comments said, work is work. It doesn't matter if it's creative, whatever. And like, that's the thing about if you want to do this as a career, there are going to be a bunch of unpleasant parts. There are going to be a bunch of parts that feel yucky. It's not always going to feel like this magical, creative fantasy. Sometimes you're just going to have to do the work and it's going to feel shit and it won't be sparkling,
Yes, that's the damn truth right
That's the damn truth, like
Yeah.
it's work some days, and like yeah, like we love it, but yeah, I think knowing that and like And just holding that in your heart as you kind of go on, it just, yeah, that's the,
I
if you
love
want it
that.
to just be magical and shining all the time, I would advise not to do it as a career. Do it as a
Yeah.
hobby.
Oh, that's good.
Do
Yeah,
it as a
that's good.
hobby if you don't want it to be work. But yeah, like I really liked Brienne's shout out later, what she says about just, you know, continue on. Listen to the end, listeners, because that was like such a powerful moment. And I just 100% agree with that. I think if you want a place in this industry and you keep grinding, doors will open, you know, but it's gonna be work. And it's very hard work because it's not a predictable industry. You know, there's a lot of unpredictable parts of it. But what I see is people who consistently treat it like work find that eventually they make work out of it, you know?
Ooh, that was good. Yeah, it feels almost like you're like an archaeologist. Like
Yeah.
you're grinding. Like you are digging in the dirt, the sun's beating on your back, like you're just like in there clawing, searching, and every once in a while you find some amazing artifact, some diamond, and you light up, you're screaming, everybody's around you, you're like, "I got it." And then you put it away, you celebrate it, and then you
Yeah.
get back in the dirt. And yeah, so it feels like that. We're just out here living our, the mummy
Yeah.
life.
100%. And like, you know, like I've had a few years of kind of like nothing happening. And then this year, it really is a year of change for me. Like the anthology coming out is one thing, but I'm also starting to write
Yes.
for the performing arts company in New Zealand that I used to write for. I'm starting to write for them again. And yeah, like it's just my boss has actually requested that the middle grade book that I had published, my very
Yes, I
first
wanted to
book.
get to that. I'm so glad you brought it up because
Yeah.
yes, I
You
saw
reminded
your
me.
reel. Good, because I saw your reel about it, and yeah,
Yeah.
like tell us everything.
Yeah. Well, okay, where is it? It's my little middle grade book that I won a competition to have published, Gregory and the Grimbuckle, back in 2017. So it's a while back. It's a while back. It's so bizarre because it's like the story that just keeps. It was my first, I was going to say it's my first full book, but that's a lie. India 2008 was obviously my first book.
Right. Yes, that's true.
But it was my first sane completed book. And yeah, I won a competition to get it published with like an emerging indie press. And it was like a pretty incredible experience until the end when they decided they kind of just wanted to be a self-pub house and just publish their own works, which is fine. I just kind of didn't know quite what to do with it after that. But it's weird because every time I think I'm done with that story and like that I just put it to rest, something comes up out of the ether again. And yeah, like after a few conversations with this boss, I thought our visions weren't aligning anymore. And so we parted ways a while ago. But then, yeah, like I've been in conversation with her and just been like, no, like I still listen, she pitched it really well. I have basically full creative freedom to write what I want. And yeah, I get to write these product, like it's a production for stage. And I get to write these, I get to write music, even though I'm not particularly musical. I just, it's like, yeah. So she goes into schools and takes the school for like 6 weeks. And at the end, they put on a massive production. Like the whole town can come and see, and they pay for tickets and stuff. And yeah, like until I saw the shows, I didn't realize like the scale it was. Like it's done to such a, I don't know how she pulls it off. Even though I'm part of it, I don't know how she pulls off the level of professionalism that she does with these primary, elementary age kids.
Oh,
So
it's amazing.
it's
The
really
videos I've
amazing.
seen, oh my gosh, like I
Yeah.
am gobsmacked when I see
Yes.
it.
I'm also gobsmacked. So yeah, we had a chat and like I've missed doing it. So I'm really, and she wanted me, the reason I pulled that book up back into the circle of what we were talking about,
Reel it in,
it, reel
reel
it
it in.
in. I got there. The reason I brought my first book up with that is because she's asked me to work on a stage adaptation for that.
Oh my
So,
gosh. That's so fun. That's so freaking
yeah.
exciting.
So it's going to come to life on stage. And Yeah, I've already started working on it and I think it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool to see it born again. And yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll find a way to get that back up for sale at some point because I always planned on it. Just sometimes, like, it feels like the too hard basket if you're doing it yourself. But I think that's the thing when someone else is like, hey, I love this story. I want this story. Let's do it. So yeah, she's going to be reborn. Watch this space.
Lot of exciting things happening for Melanie Schubert. I'm freaking excited.
It's
Yeah.
honestly like a real, the feeling of seeing like something you've written brought to life on stage is, it's mind blowing. Like I was lucky enough to go over for a couple shows when I was first doing it for them. And yeah, it's super cool. So,
I can only imagine. Well, I'm so excited for you. So I can't wait to see videos of the kids in action because it's so stinking cool. But speaking of cool things and people, we had on a really cool guest that is Brianne Randall. So let's read her bio and get her on.
I can do it this time if you want.
Yes, it's your turn, Melanie.
It
I'm
is my
keeping
turn.
scores. I'm keeping score.
Brianne Randall is a freelance writer by trade and an author by vocation. She graduated with honors with degrees in English literature, psychology, and religious studies, and her articles have been published in national magazines such as Parents, Fit Pregnancy, Good Housekeeping, Family Circle, et al. Means as well as regular contributions to sites such as Disney Family, She Knows, Bustle, et al. Again, what's it mean? Should I know?
I have no idea what that means.
Maybe,
Maybe just like et cetera.
et cetera. Yeah, a seasoned traveler, she imbues her stories with the magic and culture collected from the over 40 countries she's visited. Oh, I wish I asked her about that. Brianne lives in the sleepy foothills of Northern California with her husband, two daughters, and a slew of farm animals. When she's not riding, you can find her wandering the property, searching for fairy portals, or serving elaborate stuffed animal tea parties.
So I love that. I love the bio, the magic. Yes. Let's bring on Brianne Randall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
You moved fast. You did good with that reading of the bio, Miss Ma'am.
I wasn't sure how long we had left, so I pretty
Yeah, yeah.
steamrolled through it. But yeah, her
Yeah.
last part of her bio, it's giving Angela Montoya.
I know.
Are you
We're
Northern
twins.
California as well, or is that a
Yeah,
different?
oh yeah, we live like literally 40 minutes away.
Hey, do you know something really random and funny? There's a chapter, speaking of this middle grade book, there's a chapter in this book like titled Off to California, where they go off to California. Before I
Aww.
knew you, they go to California in the book.
See, we were always meant to be. You were
We
always
belong
thinking of me.
together.
We were always gonna be here somehow, and yeah, it just was meant to be. Same. I was in sync with Phil the other day.
Yeah.
He, we were. I hit it
With the
first. I
same
hit the
gif.
same gif. Yeah, the same gif. We're just all. It's all
Did you
connected.
say GIF?
I
I
might have
wasn't gonna let that
accidentally.
one slip.
I
Yes,
might have
I hope you
accidentally.
appreciated our steamy cosplay.
Oh yes. How dare I not bring that up?
It
I fainted when I saw that. Your
was
guys' cosplay, I think honestly, you guys just need to become vampires because it was hot.
Thank you. Thank you. I had just finished watching What We Do in the Shadows again. So I was
Oh,
feeling my
so good.
vampire realm. It's so good.
It's so
It's
good.
so good. Doesn't Taika in that remind you of Lalo a bit? Kind of innocent,
Oh,
sweet vampire
yeah.
vibes.
I love that. I'm gonna have to rewatch again.
Rewatch it again. It's so perfect. I was watching, I was like, oh, in he's got that kind of sweet vampire way, like Lalo does, who of
I
course is
love it.
in the upcoming A Cruel Thirst.
Yes, nice little
Nice
put
little
in
shout
there.
out. Hi.
Brianne.
Oh my gosh. Okay, if the
No,
connection is bad, just let me know and I'll switch to my phone.
it's good.
Because the Wi-Fi here can be not so great.
Yes. I was just telling Melanie the same thing because I'm out in the country too. So, yeah.
Hashtag country life.
I saw that in your bio. I was like, are these two twins living on their farms with their animals in California?
I'm pretty sure we live rather close to each
I mean, I
other.
think we're like 40 minutes away from each other, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Melanie. I helped, I don't know what the term is, moderate.
No, yeah.
I'm like, what is that? Yeah, I was in conversation for Brand's big book launch at our local Barnes and Noble. So.
Yes. She was the best host. Like I mean, if God had been like, listen, talk to me about your perfect host, okay? And then there's Angela.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's facts. That's why I tricked her into doing this podcast
It all worked out, didn't it? For everybody involved. You guys are all welcome. You're all welcome. I'm so happy I'm here. Well, enough about me. As much as I love this where this is heading, let's yeah, as much as I love this, let's get into getting to know you because it truly I was only a good host because the book and you are both fabulous, magical, wonderful creations. And so, yeah, you made it easy.
Well, I'm highly honored. Thank you.
Yeah, well, let's get into it. Like, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about you?
Sure. Gee, golly willikers. Yes, my name is Brienne. I am the author of The Unfortunate Side Effects of Heartbreak and Magic, which has been pitched as a warm and witchy Gilmore Girls meets Practical Magic book. And that was actually, I think, the fourth or fifth book that I had written. And that was the book that got me a literary agent. And we went on submission with that right when COVID hit.
Wow.
And the publishing industry had slowed down quite a bit. And so it was on sub for like over a year before it sold. And then I just worked my little medium-sized to large booty off.
You did. You really
On
did.
marketing and pre-orders, with the
Yeah.
goal being to debut on the New York Times bestseller list. And somehow, unbeknownst to me, it happened, which is still like absolutely mind-boggling. But yeah, so that's me. And I live, like we said, I live in the country, in Northern California. We've got about 50 acres, sheep, chickens, all the farm animals, and it's great.
Living the dream. You're living the
Yes.
dream. Yeah.
I love
I
that. Well,
love
we
it.
also love to ask our guests like a few random questions. So I want to know,
Please.
like, what is the strangest thing you have that you own? And then I also want to know what is the strangest tattoo you have? Because I see you have quite an assortment
Ooh.
and I need to know more.
Okay.
That's
I'm so excited about this question because I don't know the answer.
She has a lot. She has a lot of
I was
options.
messaging Angela and I was like, the weirdest thing I own? I don't know. So the first thing that came to mind was canopic jars that I brought home from Egypt that were not bought in like a regular store. They were picked up somewhere just out in the, wilderness in Egypt. And I also, one of my prized possessions, which is also a little weird, is a Greek Bible that I got off a Roman Catholic priest in Israel when I was in the Holy Sepulchre. And he told me, I asked him if I could buy a Greek Bible somewhere. And he said, why? Like, you, why? And I said, well, I've taken ancient Greek for a couple of years and I'd really like to have one. And he said, if you can read my Bible, you can have it. It's the one that I went through school with, and then I'll give it to you. And I did, and I read him a passage and he was like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
That's
Imagine it was like a thousands of years old heirloom and he just gave it to you. Also, I
like been
have
passed down through generations.
to Yes.
yeah. I have to ask what were the jars? I didn't
Oh.
sycophant jars, like mummification ones or something.
Yes, canopic jars where they would when they would mummify somebody, they would put, the organs in different like the organ
Holy
parts in
shit.
one jar and the organs in another and blah blah blah. Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't know. And I was telling Angela, one time my dad brought me back the creepiest marionette doll you could ever possibly imagine from Singapore. And he brought it home and he was so proud because it's like handmade and it's all amazing. And I was like, oh my, I cannot have that in my room.
No,
I mean, like with the little
that
strings.
shit
Like, no, thank you.
is possessed. There's no way you could ever possibly sleep, like knowing
No,
that's in
he's like,
your
night
room.
night. Okay, you've just reminded me a long, long time ago at a friend's wedding, I had to stay with a random aunt of hers to sleep for the night. And the
Oh.
aunt collected dolls. And there was a room full of dolls just like
No.
watching as you walked in. I was like,
Oh,
no,
you're all
I'll
sweet
sleep in
dreams.
the caravan. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
No.
sorry. The stereotype of the creepy of the dolls being creepy is there because it's just
Oh, they definitely come to
they're
life.
just creepy.
They are. No, they are. It might have been my aunt that you stayed at because my, or as you would say, aunt, she had them and she'd have them like in behind glass doors and like had an entire
My.
wing of her house dedicated to
No.
so I guess we all have our horror stories.
Blessings. Bless them. Bless
Yeah, we
them.
should bury them and bless them, sage it,
No, they'll
sages
just rise up
it.
as
Do a
zombie
little
dolls if
prayer.
you bury them. Don't bury
Oh,
them. The glass is
okay.
probably the only thing that works.
Oh, you know what, it's true because I know this for a fact. I watch Ghost Adventures and that's what they do to Annabelle the doll. She's locked away.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
Sorry.
good to
Sorry to
know.
go dark on
Good to
that
know. Good to know you're all
one.
actually.
I am an expert on this. Okay. Okay. Well,
Oh,
I want to bring
yeah.
up the tattoo. Or
Yes,
did you have
tattoo.
any? Wait, did you
But
have any other
no,
weird stories?
those were the first things that popped into my head.
I think you take the cake with any one of those three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Anna. But the weirdest tattoo. Okay. So this one right here, not the writing around it, that's from Game of Thrones, but the circles. Is my daughter's name, Evelyn Clare, in the language of Gallifreyan, which is the home planet of Doctor Who.
This glorious. I actually just read in your bio that your daughter was named after a Twilight character, and
Yes.
it was one of my questions.
Yes, Rosalie. Rosalie was my second daughter. She was named after Rosalie Cullen. Yes.
Didn't want to name her Renesmee?
Renesmee. So close, this close,
Close, yeah.
really, really close. Well, and Evelyn is named after the librarian from The Mummy. So,
Oh, amazing. I love
the
this.
ultimate. I mean, this is a Star Wars. It's really faded, but it's a the New Jedi Order
Ooh.
symbol. This is like the
Wow.
Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. They're all weird. Okay.
That is so cool, though. Like
Yeah.
that is you're cool.
I would say cool, not weird.
Okay, then.
Yes.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, like these are like iconic pop culture moments and like
Oh,
I love
yeah.
that you celebrate them. I think that's the coolest thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gotta put them somewhere. Cause I'm highly OCD. So when I get on something, it's becomes my identity for some time until I move on to the next thing. And so I typically commemorate that with a tattoo.
I love
So that's why a
that.
lot of
Oh.
them are weird.
Oh my God, I love that so much. Okay, well, this segues right into the next question, which is perfect. What
Bring
is
it.
something you think of in way too much? What is your Roman Empire, I guess, at the moment?
My Roman Empire. Getting a call from my agent
Yeah, that feels real.
for an email. that's probably one of them that I think about way too much. But yeah, I do. I have like very the OCD manifests with obsessive thoughts and intrusive thoughts, which is not fun, by the way. So a lot of the time I'm having to control, like my mind will go to very dark places, typically involved with my children because I'm a mother and I'm always like imagining terrible scenarios happening that are so outside the realm of possibility. But my mind just goes there and then I have to like reel it back. So that's something that I think about often, not on a happy note.
No, relatable. Let's
Oh
bring more
man.
awareness for intrusive thoughts and how dark they are.
Oh
I
my
felt
gosh.
that in my soul. You know, I had to do a lot of
Literally.
work to be like, you're not evil. You're just having intrusive thoughts.
Yes. Amen and preach. Yeah, I will literally be laying in bed and I will,
Yeah.
spiral and go somewhere. And I'm like, how did I get here? Why,
Yeah.
how would I even think about something like this? But other than that, other than the intrusive thoughts, I would say The Magicians, the show The Magicians, which was based off of the trilogy by Lev Grossman. It's like one of my favorite book series of all times. I think I've seen the series probably three times through, and I'm just like completely entirely obsessed with every character. And so I love the magic system so much. And so it's just like constantly playing on repeat in my head.
Oh, how fun. Do you have any tattoos inspired?
I don't, but as a matter of fact, it's my next one. My husband tattoos me. So
Oh, the dream, living
yes.
the dream.
The next one is the logo for the school from The Magicians, which is like a key, like a skeleton key that has a B in the center.
Okay, this is very cool. So you can just have an idea and just be like, babe, just like tattoo me, just put me on your schedule anytime.
Yeah, the kids go to, I'm like, the kids, well, because he does it at home just for me. It's only
Yeah.
for me. So the kids are in bed. Okay, it's time.
That is so
Yeah.
fun.
Very cool.
I love this for you. I really,
Thank you. Thank you
really
very much. Thank you.
do. Okay, one last random question, which
Yeah.
is, what is one of your most random, memorable life moments, could be funny or otherwise?
I actually, this is something I think about often. It came from my grandpa, actually. When I was in college, I started, you guys are gonna be like, oh, that's cool. That's not weird. So I was homeschooled. I graduated young at 15. I went to college, and I went to a very small college, and they did not have an English major. That's how small the college was. It was just like a very small little university, private. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll do psychology. And so I was almost about to graduate. I had one semester left, and they created like that was they created an English department, and they had an English major. And I was like, oh no. Like, what am I gonna do? And so I was talking to my grandpa about it, and he said, I was like, I feel like I'm quitting. Like I can't just not, I don't know what to do. And he said, it's not quitting, it's a change of direction, and pursue what you want to pursue, not what you're supposed to do. So that kind of like gave me a whole paradigm shift, and I stayed in school for an extra like year and a half so that I could actually get both degrees. But it was just like a very good clarifying moment for me to be like, okay, it's not, I'm not quitting, because I struggle with like if I start something, I have to follow it through, to my own detriment probably oftentimes. And so it was a kind of a weight lifted off of my shoulders, like, okay, I can go forward with this now.
Yeah, grandpa.
Yeah,
Like,
I know, right?
where your grandparents sound cool.
He is literally, oh my gosh, he's
Yeah.
the quintessential grandfather. He's so great.
Bless
That's
them. Amazing.
Yeah.
Was grandpa at your book signing?
He was,
Okay, I feel like I
yes.
very clearly remember grandpa because he was probably the proudest person in the room. I
Oh.
believe that was him I was talking to. Okay,
Oh,
yeah.
yes. Yeah,
That's
yes.
so
Very proud.
sweet.
Yeah,
Oh
he
my gosh. Oh, well, now, did you know you always wanted to be a writer? Is,
was.
I mean, was
I
that always in the
did.
cards for you?
Yeah, well, yes. I knew I wanted to be a writer, and then I think the longer I stayed in school, the more I kind of felt like I didn't have what it took to be a creative writer. I was like, I don't know if I have what it takes to write a book. And so I went into the field of freelance writing slash journalism for many years. And then I got married. Oh, my husband always teases me about this because I'm really bad with dates and stuff. So, but we got married in a year, some year, which was like almost 13 years ago now. And it was the first year that we were married, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try. And so, even though I always wanted to be a writer, I felt like I wasn't equipped. And then I just wrote the damn book, and it was terrible. So, got that out of the way.
Yeah, having
Oh,
those messy like first books,
oh
right?
boy, oh boy. Looking back at that, I'm like, not good.
Yeah,
Not
well,
good.
tell us a bit more. Tell us about your journey to like from discovering, like taking the leap to publication.
Oh my goodness. So that was, yeah, about 13 years ago almost. And I mean the I was very lucky because my husband worked full time and I got a job right after we got married at Anthropology. And then I did that for about 2 months and I was like, not for me. it's like a I don't know if you have them in
No,
Australia.
I was gonna ask.
It's a clothing store. It sounds fancy if you don't know the clothing store. I work at Anthropology. I'm just like chiseling away.
Yeah, just
No.
chiseling away.
That is what I pictured. That is what
yeah,
I
a
pictured.
clothing store. And then I was like, nope. So I start that was when I started freelancing for websites and magazines and places like that. And then while I was doing that, I was consecutively working on novels. So I wrote my first book, that was terrible. Wrote my second book, that was better. And I queried that one. And it was just crazy because it was like, I'm Jewish. I will preface this with that. And I really love selling things. So, thank you. When it came time to the query writing, I was like, freaking bring it. Like, I will sell the shit out of this book and make agents want to read it. And it worked. But the book was not up to snuff. So like the query was really good. And I ended up, I think I queried like 90 agents and I got like 60 full, over 60 full requests for that book. And it was all same thing. Kirk, this needs work. This like everybody's saying the same thing. And I was like, okay. So I shelved that and then wrote the next book. Same thing happened. And so each time it was just like a refining process. Lots of lots and lots and lots of learning and lots and lots and lots of rejection. And then even with this last book with the unfortunate side effects of Heartbreak and Magic, I mean I queried that book for like a freaking year, I think about. And I had almost been like, okay, time to move on to the next, but it was really hard for me to let go of that one book because it was inspired by my grandma and it meant a lot to me because she had passed away, and I just wanted that out in the world to kind of preserve her memory, our memories, and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep going. And then that was when I got an offer of representation from my amazing agent, and yeah, and then went on submission, and there we are.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's one of our favorite questions is always asked like the journey. Because everybody's journey varies. Some are really fast, and then some of us have to just keep working and busting our asses. And I love that, like you were like, no, okay, well, that didn't work. So let me try, like let me just keep trying and figuring this out and whittling it away. And here you are. And it, you did, you had like the perfect pitch, and now you have the goods to back it up.
I was gonna say,
Love
like,
that.
that must be a cool part now. You've been grinding with like the sales side of things comes to you more naturally. And so now
Yes.
you are ready. You are ready.
Yes. Because the publisher that I signed with, Alcove Press, they're a small, much smaller publisher. They're, you know, not part of the Big Five or anything, but they're distributed by Penguin Random House. So it's kind of like it's nice because it's the a little bit of the best of both worlds where it's like a small boutique feel, but then the reach of PRH. But for me, I also have like a lot of control issues. And so I was like, listen, I know you guys are going to do your thing with like marketing and Goodreads giveaways and blah, blah, blah. But I also am going to do my thing because I have to just give it my all. And that was when I started the marketing on Instagram
Yeah, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You did the damn thing. I mean, you honestly, like, you kill it on there.
Oh my
Like,
gosh.
it's, and that's how, obviously, I'm pretty sure that's how I found you. I'm pretty
Yeah,
sure.
I
How else would I? And the entire world feels like they have found you, which is so exciting. Is there anything about like publishing in like the industry or just, you know, anything that has surprised you?
I feel like I feel like no, only because from the beginning I did so much research.
And so, and I read so many blogs and just gained, like, got all the information I could, negative and positive. And so I think my expectations going in were just like, statistically, I know that if I keep going, it's like I'm going to get there in the end because it's just inevitable. So I don't care how many rejections I rack up. I've talked to a lot of authors about, like, because a lot of authors, which I didn't know this because this isn't my nature or personality, but a lot of authors don't even want to query because they're afraid of the rejection. And I did not know this. And I was like, whoa, what? So I've talked to a lot of authors about separating like their that identity from the creation. Because when an agent rejects the book, they're not rejecting you as a person. And so for me, it's just like, okay, great, on to the next. Like, that's not my fit. Awesome. Good to know. Next. So for me, it's like almost it spurred me on, I guess, a little bit more when I got rejection because I'm like, okay, I'm getting closer, getting closer, getting closer. But yeah, so I don't think anything really surprised me. I think experience, you hear, oh, the publishing industry is so slow, and then you experience it firsthand, and that's a little
Yes.
But
Yes.
other than that, yeah, no, I think I was just ready for anything that came my way. It's like, what, just take me.
It's really wise advice, actually. And like, yeah, something that I've noticed over the years as well, like that phenomenon of like authors like putting all this energy into a book and then maybe sending out a handful of queries and then be like, oh, I got no from these five agents. I'm like, no, honey, no, honey. Try a couple hundred, try a couple more years, and then let's talk. I really love what you just said because I do believe that if you really want to be here in this industry and you put in the work and you keep working, that maybe not the door you necessarily expect will open, but other doors do open eventually.
Yes, I'm in that I agree 100%. It's like I'm the type of person who does I'm really good at following directions. I'm not good at following rules. And so I think, if a lot of the doors are closing, because how many people through that process was like, don't you think, like, isn't it maybe time to move on to something else? It's not working out for you. And that does nothing to me because I know what I want. So I'm going to keep going. And people can think that I'm crazy or whatever, and that's totally fine. They're prerogative. But just continuing, because when the right door opens, the right door is going to open. And I fully believe that everything happens in its time and that your journey, your process of what you're going through, shapes everything that comes after. And then hopefully you'll be able to help other people who are going through the same thing, which is my highlight of this whole this that's been the greatest part for me, is talking to other authors.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Well, before we move on, I want to know, like, I would love you to tell our listeners about your New York Times best-selling book. Can you give them, because I know you mentioned, like the log lines, right? Like the fun pitch, but can you give us like a little deeper? Because truly it's so special. There's recipes in there and it feels like this warm hug of a book. And there's deeper, darker themes as well, but it's such a beautiful story. So without me just giving it all away,
Well,
can you tell our listeners about it?
thank you, first of all. And it's so funny that you say that because I was thinking, I can't remember, this is either last night or the night before. I was laying in bed and I was thinking how unique the reader experience is because everybody obviously experiences a book very differently. So my book deals with grief and loss. And for somebody who has experienced grief and loss, especially if it's in the way that happened in the book, particularly if it happened with a grandparent and that person, the reader is close to their grandparent, they read the book and it's like, oh, the book has like, oh, I thought I went into it thinking it was going to be like a light, fun read. And like, that was not what it was. But then other people who haven't quite experienced that are like, oh, it's like a light, fun read. It's really easy to get through and blah, blah. So very polarizing, dependent upon, what you're coming to the book with. It basically follows Sadie, the main character, and her grandmother who own a cafe, and in this tiny little town that's inspired by where I live. I mean, people who live here have read the book and they're like, oh, look, like, because I, really just drew total inspiration from
from here, and follows their just kind of their family and how they infuse the symbolism of plants and herbs into the food that they make. A lot of the recipe, there's a recipe at the end of each chapter, and most of them, many of them, are my grandma's recipes, her actual recipes, and then the rest of them are just mine that I've manufactured through the years through a lot of trial and error. Because before, when I was young, I wanted to go to Le Cordon Bleu in Paris. That was one of my dreams, to go there. And so I've always loved baking and cooking, and that was just had to be incorporated because my grandma was the same way. She was, spent most of her life in the South, but was also from Southern California, sorry. So anyway, follows their family, and there's a sibling relationship and people coming back to the family and second chance romance. There's not a lot of romance in it, but it is there. And yeah, I mean, there are some broader themes, but that's kind of the overarching.
Just
I won't go
sounds
into the plot
amazing.
simply because you can go Google that, but that's the stuff that the little synopsis doesn't talk about.
Well, and that's what I honestly like. I really loved about it. It was so layered. There were so many things happening, and you felt them all throughout the book. And so well done. It
You.
deserves its New York Times
That's so nice.
bestselling honorific.
Thank you.
100%. Is there anything like you wish your or the readers knew before they picked up this book and read it?
Very good question. I would say, I mean, really, if I had my druthers, I would love for any reader who approaches any book to do so with just like an open heart and open mind and lack of judgment. Knowing that a real person wrote the book, and especially if the book was influenced heavily by real life, people and events and things like that. But if I had to choose, I would say, yeah, I would love for people to know that it was inspired by my grandma, because I think, I mean, I wrote her character like carbon copy from how she was in real life. She was just so feisty, so loving. Everybody was welcome at her house. I mean, she was just, we called her a pioneer woman. I mean, she was born in 1929, grew up in the Depression, had five kids, and she was just a badass, And so that's exactly how I wrote her. So I would love people to know that, like, that's actually her.
Wow, that's so cool. And you know what? Like your grandparents, I just want to adopt them. Like, what a beautiful way to like pay tribute and just, yeah, and the recipes and everything, like so cool.
Thanks.
It is. Now we touched on your marketing genius, just a
Stop
little
it.
bit here and there,
Stop.
but it truly, like, you are the marketing mistress. I
That's
just
my new
love
name.
watching your videos, and you had mentioned like you love helping other writers because you really do. You also are always there and like chatting and trying to build other writers. Can you like tell us about how you grew your social media into what it is now? I mean,
I think
it's
it
amazing.
was you're so nice, thank you. I think primarily it's so funny because my best friend, who I co-wrote one of my next books with, that's going on submission in like the next week or two, actually.
Fingers crossed.
He's not on social media. Like, he has an account, but he doesn't post because he has really bad social anxiety and et cetera, et cetera. So he doesn't post, but he obsessively checks my Instagram, and he'll text me. He'll be like, "You're at blah blah blah, or so and so did this," or whatever. And I'm like, "Oh my, I don't know." That's great. Because I think in my head, whenever I make a reel or post a story or anything like that, I imagine like 80 people that are like gonna see it. But then I forget sometimes, like I'll post something. I posted something a few weeks ago that was like, I know I can't help everybody, but I would love to give back in some way. So if there's something I can do for you, whether it's like with books or if you're a small business or whatever, please let me know. And again, in my head, I'm thinking like this is going to like 80 people or so, forgetting that I have a little bit more than that. I check my DMs and I'm like, oh, what have I done?
I'm cracking up because I saw your post and I was like, how does she do this? How does she possibly talk to this
It was crazy. But I will say, I mean, so like, and that's the thing, because you just never know. And I got to as many as I could. And one of them in particular really stuck out to me. She sent me her book. She has a very similar story to mine where she's like been trying to get published for 10 years. She sent me her book and it was phenomenal. And I recommended her to my, gave her a referral to my agent. And now my agent is reading her book. And so I'm like, if one good thing like that, comes from it, then that's the great. That's all I want. But yeah, I think, before my Instagram started growing, it was completely dead. And I switched over to TikTok and started posting there with my hook of the Gilmore Girls Meets Practical Magic book. And my TikTok took off pretty fast. And so I focused solely on that. And I just kind of like would post willy-nilly on Instagram. And then I was like, I'm just going to delete my Instagram. I just don't think like it's just no, it's not working for me. And then I was like, you know what? No, I'm gonna give it one more shot. And so I made a like a strategy, a plan, and then went back in. And then that was now my Instagram was like way bigger than TikTok. And I think maybe because I had that strategy and the plan that it attracted more people. And I just kept going. 'Cause I knew that it's like nobody knows how much you know until they know how much you care, type of thing. So a big part of it is creating content that's shareable, because that's how you get, that's a lot of the times how people find, if somebody shares something to their story that's hilarious or meaningful or relatable or something like that, I'm going to tap on that. I'm going to go see, look at their profile. And if I like it, then I'm going to follow them. So part of the goal, like of the twofold goal, was to create relatable content, quotes, aesthetic reels, and stuff like that. So that, I mean, I'll post something about my book and people, I'll get tons of messages. I didn't even know you wrote a book. I
Wow.
just follow you for your quotes. I'm like, that's great. You're here. Happy to have you. yeah. And then it's just a lot of, I would say two of the biggest things that have helped me are Flowdesk, which is an email platform that has been super amazing. So what I did for the unfortunate side effects, if I also please shut me up.
No,
No, please,
you're
you are gone.
perfect. Please talk more. We're just absorbing it.
Yeah, we're listening. We're listening. We're taking it in.
I feel like I can. Okay. So, what I did for unfortunate side effects was when I created a workflow so that when somebody signed up for my email newsletter, it would enter them into this workflow that I had previously created and it would happen automatically. So they sign up, they instantly get an email welcoming them, they get a recipe for a drink. And then 2 weeks later, they get another email introducing them to the world of Poppy Meadows, which is the town in the book. And then, a week later, they get like a character card that I made in Canva about the character. And then a week later, they get another, so on and so forth, inviting them into the world of the book. Here's a Spotify playlist. Here's a Pinterest board, just so that they're really well identified with the book before it even comes out. And providing as many sensory, like with the, playlist, recipes, stuff like that, so that they're very invested. And I think that was huge for me building my email list. I'm like an email marketing, I'm like psychotic because I love it so much. I firmly believe that it is a huge part of why I was able to do get so many pre-orders. So that was huge. And then ManyChat, another like huge thing that I've utilized to, I think, very good effect, which is just an automation system. It's owned by Meta, so you're not like penalized for using it on Instagram. And it just, you comment, a user comments a word that you set up, and then it automatically DMs them a link and a message that you've previously set up. And that's been, I mean, it's just great because as a reader, I want it to be as easy as possible. So if I see something I like, I don't want to have to like go click the link in the bio and then be like, yes, I know I'm going outside of Instagram. Thank you. And then go to the website and then add it to my cart and blah, blah, blah. So it just sends it right to their inbox and they can go order it from wherever they want.
Very okay. These are some very practical tips that I shall be using. I love this. I see our time is up, but I definitely want to get to like our, I don't know. I know I see Melanie's like in sh she is shook right now. I don't know how the time left. But I want to get to like our favorite question, which is looking back at all you've accomplished, what advice would you give a younger version of yourself before you started this journey?
Advice, advice. I don't know if this is advice, but is it? I would tell myself it's all worth it. It's all going to be worth it because of the connections that you get to make with people and the community that gets to be built and the knowledge gained along the way and just learning about the industry, all the rejection, all of the is this meant for me? I would say yes. It's all worth it. Keep going. And that's why I always say I'm cheering you on. Every time I talk to an author, I'm like, I'm cheering you on. I'm like your virtual cheerleader girl, okay? I just want so badly for people, authors, new authors, to believe in themselves so freaking hard and to just lean into that and just knowing that this is for them and that they deserve it and that they're worth it. So I don't know if that's advice, but that's what I would tell myself.
I mean, that was everything. And I think, you know what? When the right ears hear that, and like, I so appreciate you saying that. I know there's this kind of attitude of like, don't be like, well, this is going to happen. And then if it doesn't, it's disappointing. But I disagree. I think that some ears need to hear, you've got this, keep going. It's going to be worth it. It's not for everyone, that advice, actually. Some people don't want to hear that. But for the
Totally.
ones who need it to keep going,
Yes.
what you've said, I think is so powerful and like, it's like the encouragement we need to keep going in this industry.
It is, honestly,
I'm
it
glad.
so is, and it was beautifully said, and I felt it in my bones. I felt it in
Oh
my
gosh.
soul. So honestly, I you're so magical. It's so fun to watch you shine, and I can't wait to read all of your books, and you know, just to see you continue to soar.
Thank you.
I don't want us to get cut off, but I do want to just say, like, thank you for joining us and taking the time, you know, walking into your magical cottage and, you know, battling the internet gods to be with us. We appreciate
It's
it.
a privilege and an honor, and I'm just very grateful for the opportunity. And I just love chatting with you guys. Thanks for letting me yap on about stuff that I love.
Thank
Oh,
you.
yeah.
Thank you for
No.
yapping. Literally, why we have
I'll yap
the
anytime.
Well, good. We'll take you up on that. We'll have you back on in the, when the next
Yes.
book comes out, and we
Yeah.
will yap away again.
Yes. That sounds
Yes.
amazing. Thank
I want to
you.
hear more weird things, more weird tattoos. Well, in my books, it's all just cool stuff, but
Yeah, it's all cool. You're the
I'll try
coolest
and come up with
person.
something really weird, okay?
Oh. Yes.
My challenge, my takeaway.
Yeah, perfect.
Excellent. Well,
Yeah,
enjoy
well,
the
we'll have
rest
to
of your
chat.
night, and yeah,
Thank
I
you.
should have the episode up by the end of the week, so
All
I will
right.
tag you and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Awesome. You guys are just amazing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. You have a good night.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.